I knew this was first Sunday, and being first Sunday back to basics, I was torn because this COVID still has the world in an uproar, and there's all kinds of questions going back and forth. There's arguments, and the Bible says in the last days, women will turn our mothers against daughters and fathers against sons and sons and all kinds of things. And I see even without the Antichrist taking over yet, I see it even happen with this COVID. And it breaks my heart to see all this displacement because of COVID and now the different variants that they have. You know, it's just crazy. And so in the middle of all this, that's when this actually, I wanted to bring this to light. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk more about COVID at Christmas, but today we're going to do more of a COVID, but at the same time, we're going to do some, just some back to basics, and we're going to talk about the power of the manger, because the manger actually is, part of the redemptive journey. If you look in the book, 66 books of the Bible, and you cut them, anywhere you cut the 66 books of the Bible, anywhere you cut it, it bleeds. Okay? Every book in the Bible points to, either verbally or through signs, points to, or pictures and types, of Calvary and of the redemption of God. Every last book, whether they say it or just point to it, but it's there. So there is a redemption journey, but this is where it really starts, where the rubber meets the road. When you get to the manger, all this stuff up to this point, now God's been silent now for 300 years. And so God's silent, and as God is silent, he comes back on the scene with John the Baptist, or 400 years, and he goes back on the scene with John the Baptist, and then Jesus comes in on the scene, but he had to get here somewhere. Amen? Amen. He just didn't fall out of the sky. God could have just sent out in the sky, could have sent your Redeemer, but instead he said, I want somebody that can say, I know where you're at. I know what it's like. I know what it feels like. Job even said when he was suffering, he told God, and it was very truthful. He said, God, you really don't understand the pain I'm going through because there's not a daysman between us. The word daysman means arbitrator. It means somebody that can reach down with one hand and grab one person, and reach with the other hand and grab the other person, and be the one, the intermittent person that knows how both people feel. Amen? And so Jesus is the one that on the cross, he reached down with one hand and grabbed man, and he reached out with the other hand and he grabbed God. But in order to do all that on the cross, see, the manger had to come first. And so we're going to talk about that. And so get your Bible out and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, stand for the reading of the word. You know, some people say this just gets old, but you know what? I can't see it getting old. I really can't see it getting old. I can't see it causing any problems of, you know, overread it. No, you can't overread it. If you read this every day, it would not be too much. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Remember, this is a journey. The manger is part of the redemption journey. Somebody say redemptive journey. All right. Your life is part of your redemptive journey. And you know what? Part of it, you have to receive it. So part of your life is where you received it, and then the next part is where you develop it. And then all along the way in this journey, you're always ministering to other people. But then you get to the point where you not only spread a little bit of seed, you spread a lot of seed. Mighty Army this morning, who saw Mighty Army this morning? It is so powerful because, let me get to it. Let's see if I can. Yeah, here it is. That's right. They tried to bury us. They didn't know that we were seeds. Amen? So just remember, anything you do is a seed, all right? So your redemptive journey is you're born again, and then you, on the journey to maturity, you're still leading people to Christ, and you're still doing things. But when you get mature, it's amazing what can happen. And even in your last days on earth, it's amazing what you can do for God, and whatever you do will continue until Jesus Christ comes back. That's what he said. So he didn't say until, listen, we said, whatever he starts in you, he will continue till Christ comes back. What if I'm not alive when Christ comes back? It doesn't matter. because after you die, your seeds are still planted and they still grow. Okay? So here we go. Let's read this. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree, verse 1, from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God for a special anointing and a special touch. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are alive and well, God, and you are moving in our midst. I thank you, God, that you're already here. You were here before we got here. You'll be here after we leave. Lord, I know, God, that you're an awesome, all-powerful, all-loving God. You love us enough to send your son. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us to cherish that manger. Because without the manger, there would not have been a cross. And we thank you, God, for the full redemptive journey. We know, God, that it started with the prophets, and then it came to your son, and it then went to the manger, and then to the cross, and then back to the prophets until now. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us to cherish our redemptive journey, not to cut people out, but to invite people in. And we thank you for all you do for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'll tell you this, that three men were trying to get into a crowded restaurant on Christmas Day. They forgot to make reservations the day before. Is there any guys here done stuff like that? Oh, yeah. The maitre d' met them and said, because it's Christmas Day, we have a special deal to get you in to get these last three tables. If you have something on you that has to do with Christmas, I'll let you in. The first man reached into his shirt pocket and took out a lighter and flicked it and held it up and said, a Christmas candle. The maitre d' chuckled and said, okay, you can come in. The next man reached to his pants pocket, took out a set of keys, shook them in the air, and started singing Jingle Bells. The maitre d' paused and groaned and said, okay, get in before I change my mind. The last man, he had to be a Linton. The last man rummaged through his pants pockets, found nothing. Next, he checked his shirt pockets, nothing again. Finally, he searched his coat pockets, paused, thought for a moment, then took out a pair of women's eyeglasses. The maitre d' looked at him in disbelief and said, what are they? He said, these are carols. Joy to the world, they let me in. Now, getting back, I think the time was awesome with watching the shack today because God took wisdom. It was called wisdom. He was in a cave and wisdom was talking to him. And wisdom says, okay, you want to be the judge, you're going to be the judge. He says, I don't mean to be the judge. He said, but you judge everything. You judge people. You judge all kinds of things. He said, and right now you're judging God. He said, so I'm going to let you be the judge. And he said, I don't want to be the judge. He said, don't matter. You're the judge. And then he says, here's your two kids, the ones that were living. And he said, okay. Said, this one here, she doesn't want to be around you right now. And this one here, he hasn't been so good either. But I'm going to tell you what. You get to choose which one you send to heaven or which one you send to hell. He said, you can't do that to me. He said, yeah, it is. You want to be the judge? Then you be the judge. You decide which kid goes to heaven, which kid goes to hell. He said, you can't do this to me. And wisdom said, you wanted to be the judge. Now judge. And finally, he stood up and said, look, don't take either one of them. Let me go in their place. And that's what happened when God sent Jesus. He went in our place. That's powerful. So now, let's look back. Let's look back here. I'm doing this in two parts because there's so much. This is so rich and so full that I can't even... I'm just gonna get the tip of the iceberg today. Amen? How many know 2021 has been a very fill-in-the-blank year? Fill-in-the-blank! I mean, it's been crazy. It's been obnoxious. It's had good times. It's had bad times. There was times I enjoyed it. There was times I was going, who is minding the store? The nuts are running the nut house. And so I'm watching all this, and what I've discovered, as you discovered too, is that our world, as we know it, has been turned upside down. It's been turned inside out. What is right is now wrong. And what we used to consider wrong is now right. Isn't that 2021? I remember at the end of 2020, they said, man, I can't wait for 2021 to get here because it's going to be awesome. We finally made it through 2020. And all I could think about was that joke. You want to see God laugh? Tell him your plans. And I remember telling this the very first sermon of the year. Don't look at 2021 as it's going to be a break from 2020. You look at 2020 as the beginning and 2021 as a continuation, and it's going to go deeper. Has it not? Amen. So now, let's take this back even further. Let's go backwards 21 years ago. Let's look at the life of Mary and Joseph. Here's Joseph. He's a spouse, meaning he's engaged to Mary. And Mary's a virgin. And now Mary pops up and says, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant, but it's from God. So Joseph says, He said, the law says I can stone her, but I'm not going to stone her. I'm just going to put her away privately. That word put away means divorce her, because once you were engaged in a Jewish ceremony, once you're engaged or in a Jewish life, once you're engaged to somebody, you're counted as you're married to them. Although you haven't come together yet, you're still counted as married. He says, I'll put her away privately or divorce her privately. Didn't want to kill her. And then God comes to Joseph and says, hold on. She's telling you the truth. This child is the Son of God. So now, as he starts living his life now with a pregnant woman who he's engaged with, now all of a sudden, their world has been turned upside down. Their world has turned inside out. What was right has become wrong, and what was wrong has become right, because they're trying to tell everybody, you know, this is a holy child, and yeah, right. And so everybody's fighting them. So you got to think about this thing now. This is as crazy now in 2021. 2021 years before, I can promise you, it had to be very crazy for these kids too. So now, the 14th day, look at this, COVID-19. Gingerbread man wearing a mask. He's not the Lone Ranger either, I promise you. Okay. Our 14-day shutdown. Y'all remember that? 14 days. We just shut everything down for 14 days. We're going to get it back right again, and then we're going to open up. Well, that's been a long 14 days for some people because they haven't gone back to work since. Their businesses have crushed and gone down because of it. So the 14-day shutdown turned into 2 years. And there's no stopping in sight. This is conditioning us and preparing us. I tell you all the time, this is conditioning us and preparing us for when the Antichrist comes on the scene, that he's going to be viewed as a savior, because this just keeps snowballing and snowballing and snowballing. So as it looks right now, COVID seems to be in control. Amen? We're not in control. COVID is. Yeah, and in some ways, we're not even in control of our own life. COVID is. So now, you watch this going on around us, okay? Now watch. I hear some questions daily. I hear these questions all the time with all this stuff that's going on. I hear it all the time. Where's God? Why doesn't God do something? Where is he now? Let me tell you something. God already has done something. It's in that manger. Where's that? It's in that manger. Right over there. God already did something. And God already told us. He sent his son. But when he sent his son with a promise. So now, let me just tell you something. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I wish I could sit here and preach rainbows and puppy dog tales. But if I did, I'd be lying to you and lying to me. And every time I turn around, turn on the news, and I see this, I can't believe what I'm hearing. And every time I think it can't get any worse, it gets worse. So watch this. I believe that 2021 was the beginning. It was a setup. Remember, we talked about a setup for the Antichrist, a setup for the end days to get us ready to receive the mark, and to receive all the things going around that the Antichrist is going to do and accept him as Savior. All kinds of things that are coming is going to be here, because we're going to be so conditioned by the time this stuff actually hits the road, it's going to hit the road running. And we're many people. The Bible says that God's going to shorten the days, because if he didn't, the very elect would be deceived. So it's a setup. Not only is it a setup, it's prophetic. We see what's coming, because remember, this is all prophetic. Bigger things are coming. These are all kind of like, I used to work at Procter & Gamble. And at Procter & Gamble, we did things called test markets. Anybody ever heard of test markets? You know, I even signed up, and when they were doing a new product, they would ship it to my house. And I could cook it or whatever it did. I would, you know, make the cookie mix or make the cakes or whatever the stuff was in the test market. And then I'd have to do a taste test and a comparison test. And I'd send it back to them and say, this is what I thought of this and this is what I thought of that. And I remember when Always Feminine Protection started out as P45 and P50. I did P45. My preacher friend did P50. We did those. That was our parts of being an electrical designer. That was our part. And it was in a building called Cold Snap. Anybody ever heard of Cold Snap? Cold Snap was developed by Procter & Gamble, where you got your ice cream in a box. And you took the box and you mixed it and put it in the freezer, and it became ice cream. Of course, the test market, it failed. So guess what? That great old big building was just sitting there. And so that's where we put the Always Feminine Protection. The first two lines were in that building. So there are always, always these test markets. Well, right now, we're in a test market. We're being prepared. Watch around you. See what's going on. You're being prepared, because it's going to, when he does come on the scene, he's going to sweep the world. You watch. So now, 2021 years ago, it was the beginning. It was a setup. It was prophetic of bigger things to come. The cross was going to come next. So let's just watch this. Now, I'm getting ready. I'm not going to not keep you long today. I promise. If I keep you more than, look, I don't want to to not finish talking by the time you finish listening. Did somebody say too late already? Okay, ready? Watch this. When you think, listen now, when you think, they were talking more than a manger. When you think of Christmas, how often do you connect it with Easter? We have a door wrap that goes on our garage door. I'm getting ready to put it up now. Probably put it this in today or maybe tomorrow. Put that door wrap up and it shows the manger, and it shows them coming to the manger and the star. But at the same time, I've got a cross on the other side of my yard, because you cannot have one without the other. They're interconnected all the time. So now, here's something I've learned. When God sends a promise, some of y'all have had promises that you've... How many's had a promise from God that you held on for years and you haven't seen it yet? Maybe your children getting saved, or maybe your spouse getting saved, or maybe things changing in your family, or things changing at work, you know, and you haven't seen it yet. You know it was a promise from God, but you still hadn't seen it yet. Because when there's a promise, there's also a process. And in that process, the process involves, watch this, first, look, the promise, there's a proclamation. You get it. Then there's the process, the setup. In this process, you have to have patience. Sometimes, honestly, your promise would come faster if you quit trying to help God. I got to stop it right there for a minute. I'm going to park and let you think. Your promise would come a whole lot sooner if you quit helping God. Ask Abraham. He had Ishmael when Isaac was the promise. And because he couldn't wait for the promise, because it didn't happen in his time the way he thought, he had an Ishmael. And guess what happened now? We're having terrorism like you wouldn't believe. And that come from great old Father Abraham. He couldn't wait. He had to help God. That's just a little side thing. Now, it's a 6-mile journey between the manger and the cross. 6 miles. The journey is the story of Jesus' incarnation. Matter of fact, think about it. Jesus hardly went anywhere. He went in a 6-mile radius all the time. But look how much he has influenced the whole world from his one little spot. Think about it. You say, well, I can't influence anybody because I'm just me, and I'm just stuck here at work, or I'm stuck here in this neighborhood, or I'm stuck here. I can't make a difference. Jesus very seldom traveled over 10 miles at a time. Look at what he did. So from his birth to his life, everything he did pointed to his death. I'm getting close to the end. I say close. Don't get excited. Look, the manger was a setup for what was about to come. And next week, I want you to really be here next week, because I want you to hear about how powerful the manger and the cross are so much alike. So I'll read this again. Let's see here. Come on up there, bro. You can do it. I know you can. Yeah, you are. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So now I'm just going to start out with the manger. Now, no room. When you think about Christmas today, and you think about Jesus today, and you think about all the stuff that's going on with COVID, And all the stuff that's going on all around with all these shortages, there's a shortage of everything. I mean, everything you look at now, there's a shortage of. I'm not kidding. Did you know they come up with a shortage? They said there's a shortage of Santa's. 365 died last year of COVID. And they said they're not going to take it again. And so here it goes. There's a shortage. There's a shortage of, I don't know, you name it, eggnog. There's a shortage of, not Christmas trees, but there's a shortage of some of the wrapping paper. There's a shortage of everything you can think of. There's shortages because of all this stuff that's going on. Now, with all these shortages going on, let me ask you a question. With all this stuff going on, do you have room in your heart for God? Have you talked to Him? Have you let the Christ child in your heart? So watch this, the manger. The Bible says that He went there to His place and she was pregnant. She was getting ready to have that baby. But it was crowded there because all the world was being taxed. And so everybody had to go back to their own city. And so this place was crowded because of what was going on. The situation the government had put them in. Sound familiar? So it's crowded. Known as it crowded. It was dreaded. People didn't want to be there. They wouldn't be anywhere else. And so if people are places they don't want to be and for doing things they don't want to have to do and just pay taxes and know that once they left Bethlehem, when they went back home, their taxes would be doubled or tripled or quadrupled. They dreaded going there. So can you imagine the attitude of the people that were there? And then, finally, you got to understand something. You think it took God by surprise? Do you think God would just went, wow, I didn't know about the taxes. If I'd known that, Joseph, I could have sent you later on. I could have done this 6 months down the road, or I could have done this 6 months before. It didn't take God by surprise. God already knew the circumstances. He knew that the world was being taxed, and He knew this was prime time for His Son to come on the scene. Let me tell you something. Some of y'all are going through something right now, and you're going, God, why'd you wait till now? I mean, why now? I mean, everything was going great. And now it's all fell out of pieces. Why now, God? I mean, couldn't you have waited? I mean, did you see, God, that I'm trying to juggle this, and now I'm juggling that, and now I'm trying to juggle this, and my hands are full, and then more stuff gets thrown on me? God, didn't you see this coming? And God says, yeah, I did. Matter of fact, I'm glad you asked. I saw it. So here it is, the manger. Now watch this, the cross. It was crowded there too because of the Passover. People from all over the world that were Jews and proselytes, they came to Jerusalem once a year, made this pilgrimage to go to the Passover. So this place was packed. The difference is, they're there to celebrate, and instead of being dreaded, everybody's having a good time. Except for Jesus. But you got to understand, God was still in control. If nothing else today, when you leave, I want you to have this in your mind. COVID's not in control. God is. I when I saw the stuff in Revelation for all these years, even a couple years ago, when I was talking about Revelation, I never had any inclination that COVID was going to come here and there were going to be shutdowns and people fired and people, all kinds of stuff going on. I had no idea there were going to be these shortages and there was going to be people, just all this stuff happening. But God knew that, and so God already told us in Revelation, this is coming, and this is the time that we're here. You say, I sure wish I could have been born in another time. Well, you know what? I'm going to really be down honest with you. And they're going to say something to make us feel better about being born at this time. Deal with it. I don't mean with you. I mean deal with it. Deal with it. God got you here for a purpose. Deal with it. Amen? All right. So watch this. What does it mean that God sent Jesus in the fullness of time? How many ate at Thanksgiving? How many overate at Thanksgiving? I mean, if you put one more thing in your belly, you'd explode. That's what God said when he said the fullness of time. And you've eaten so much at your belly, one more thing, and you'd explode. That's what the fullness of time meant. That he had everything together at the right time, ready to go. So watch this. Let's talk about this. The manger and the cross. We're going to put them together because you can't have one without the other. First, now watch this. The manger, it was verse 6 is when it was accomplished. Watch this. Fullness of time, Galatians 4:4-5, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, and then verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished. We just read that. Now this is verse 6 in Luke. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. That word accomplished and fullness of time are similar. Fullness of time again. Think about it. You've eaten so much that one more spoonful, you're going to bust. She couldn't stand it anymore because it was time for Jesus to be delivered. So something had to happen. And so Joseph, being the good husband that he was, tried to find a place and he finally found, listen, only thing they had available, a stable. And don't think of it as a nice, beautiful stable with lights and all this stuff and HVACs. Think about this. Usually the stables were a cave. Cold, damp cave. So now, the cross. Galatians 4:5 says, in the fullness of time, to redeem them that were under the law, that they may receive the adoption of sons. After this, knowing that everything had now been accomplished, and to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, I am thirsty. And a jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked the sponge in the wine, put it on a stalk of hyssop, and lifted it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and yielded up his spirit. See the fullness of time, how it all works and how they all interconnect. You can't read the fullness of time God sent forth his son without looking at verse 5 saying to redeem them that were under the law. So, you got the manger and the cross always, always, always connected. Always. You can't have one without the other. Now, I like this. It says, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Hebrews chapter 12 says, watch this, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. I like to think of author and finisher also. This is kind of bringing it down maybe too small, but I like to think about author when I think about, let's give me a sign for author. One of the signs would be the manger. And the finisher of our faith would be the cross. That's just two signs. There's a lot more than that. So now so watch this. I'm getting ready to close. Watch. COVID is powerful, but not all powerful. It has a beginning and it has an end. Jesus is all powerful. He is the beginning and he is the end. Wow. There's a big difference. So watch this. Now I am closing. See, we circled the runway for a few minutes. Now we're coming in. I remember when I went skydiving that day, we were 11,000 feet, jumped out of that plane. And we're coming down, and I asked the guy that I was tethered to, I said, how are we going to land? He said, very carefully. I said, we're going 170 miles an hour. He says, yeah, you better be very careful. As a matter of fact, when we come down, I'll be slowing you down. He said, but you better pick your feet up. I said, why? He said, because if you don't, you're going to be picking dirt out of your mouth. I said, yes, sir. And when we got down to the ground, he said, now lift your feet. And I lifted my feet. And next thing I know, I did a bunny hop, a hiney bunny hop, from about here to that wall. Well, poor old Daniel did it from about here to that street. Okay. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So watch this. Just as the manger and just as the cross, there was a fullness of time for this to take place. Your time is coming too. Don't get impatient. Don't be like Abraham and decide to help God out, figure it out. You have to sit down, be still, and know that He is God. Because I can promise you this. If you get ahead of God, you may not know it now, but when the real thing comes that God had planned for you, you will know it. But the problem is you may have already messed up so much trying to figure out the plan yourself that you can't do a thing about it. You just watch the boat sail on by. So, ready? Remember, look at this. I want y'all to look at the same picture of Mary and Joseph. The bottom picture of Mary and Joseph. Don't it look pretty? The top picture of Mary and Joseph, they got masks on. I'm going to show you next week a manger scene that I saw in California. Can't show it to you today, but I'll show it to you next week. Remember this, COVID will not win. Your problems will not win. The Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the great I am, He's going to win. And He's going to lead you to victory. You just got to trust God with every ounce of your being. Everybody stand up. We're going to finish this next week. We're going to talk a whole bunch about symbols, a bunch of symbols between the cross and the manger. But right now, we're going to stop right here because I don't want to. We could go on for hours. We don't want to do that. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I know that everyone in here, we've gotten so impatient with this COVID. The 14 days is 2 years and still ticking. And I know there's some things that you had that you don't have anymore. And COVID just keeps stealing and taking away from you. And I know that life many times turns sour. It was so sour for Joseph and Mary. They were holding on to a promise of God, but to hold on to the promise of God, it made them look like they were crazy. But they held on anyway. And then in the middle of all that, having to take Mary, and we'll talk about that later, Bethlehem. One thing I want to strive to get to your heart today is maybe you feel like the fullness of time is here because you feel like you've already had all you can take. But God says, I know that you haven't got to the point that one more time and you'll explode. Because it's at that point, the fullness of time, that God's going to fix it for you. Or maybe He's just going to fix you for it. You got to trust Him. You've got to trust Him. God is in control all the time. Even now, He's in control. Every head bowed, every eye closed. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I've been waiting on that promise for a long time and I begin to think God has forgot me. Matter of fact, I've let it kind of drive me from Him. And I found myself actually kind of going the wrong way. And I realized today that I need to get back on the right track with nobody looking, every head bowed. Be bold. If you're here today and you say, I got to get back where I was with God. Me and God got to get back. On speaking terms, we got to get back where I trust Him again. Got to get back where I believe Him again. If I'm talking to you right now with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you put that hand up just so I can pray? Touch them right now, Lord. Every hand raised in this place, Lord, touch them right now. Help them to see, help them to understand that you've got a plan and that you're working that plan in their life. They have to be patient with the process. Patient with the process, because when they get all they can take, when everything's taken care of, when every obstacle, every problem, everything they're facing right now, when it gets to the point that they really are, one more, they're about to bust, that's when you come in on the scene. And I trust you right now, Lord, to touch them right now. Maybe you're here today and you and God are doing fine, but it's tough being patient. And it's tough holding on through the process. And you're wanting God to do something and you know He's right there on the edge, but you haven't seen it yet. Every time you think it's right there, it goes away. And the devil will tell you that God's just toying with you. And He's just playing with you. And He's never going to come true to His word. Let me tell you something about Satan. He's a liar. God is true to His word. He will do what He said He would do. You got to trust Him. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, I'm here, me and God are okay, but I'm really having a struggle believing that His promise is coming to pass because it's taking so long and I'm having to hold on through some rough stuff. If that's you today and you're needing God to bolster you up and to give you a new touch of faith, would you just raise that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Touch them right now. Bless them. Every hand that's raised, bless them. Now, we're all going to pray together. And then we're going to dismiss. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Your grace was shown at the manger. Your mercy was shown at the cross. And I thank you for both of them. Help me, God, to always connect the cross and the manger and know that you got this. I ask you right now to touch me. I rededicate my life to you and your purpose. And I ask you right now to help me as I trust you in the process. And I know, God, that greater things are coming. We just have to hold on. Help us do that. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Isn't God good? All the time God is good. Now, next week, come on back, because we're going to talk more about the manger and the cross. But like I said, it was just so much. It was just impossible to try to put all in today. Because I promise you, you would have stopped. Some of y'all already stopped listening. Somebody go, well, not me. I was listening. No, I was just playing. But if I'd have kept going, y'all would have stopped listening while I was still trying to. I hadn't stopped talking. Y'all stopped listening. So remember, it doesn't have to, my brother Hayes kept telling me, it doesn't have to be forever to be eternal. So he said, learn when you need to be quiet, bro. Amen. All right, ready? And then my wife, she was so smart, she said, just remember this. Your heart can only hold as much as your bottom end can withstand. All right, ready? Here we go. Brother Steve, dismisses in prayer.